This is Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, and you're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 93.9.
Welcome back. Friday edition of Sports Call, live on Tiger 93.9, sportscallauburn.com. Coming to you live from the Bent Creek on at QV, exit 57 in Auburn. It's just past 4:30, so you know what time it is. It's our weekly chat with Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network. And, Kevin, we appreciate the time as always, man. And I think a little celebration occurred from the last time that you were on our airwaves Friday night at SunTrust Park. Who was the wildest celebratory party Friday night?
Well, probably Josh Donaldson would be at the top of that list. That's the guy that he's always wild, even if it's just a normal pregame, you know, on a Tuesday afternoon. But I think he was certainly enjoying the experience, as was Ronald Acuna. You know, you think back to last season, he was still just 20 years old, so he really couldn't partake in all of these festivities that go down in the clubhouse after the game. So I would say Donaldson probably 1A, and I would go Acuna 1B right behind it.
Yeah, I saw a picture of Acuna kind of like sitting down, like he was just he was already spent, but he knew he was about to keep partying. He was just kind of resting for a moment, so it looked like a fun time in that Braves clubhouse. Kevin, were you in there, and were you getting absolutely doused as well?
Yeah, I was, and you know, we were doing a bunch of one-on-one interviews, and I was working my way around the clubhouse, and big thanks to Jerry Blevins, who decided to pour two bottles of champagne on my head in the middle of interviewing Freddie Freeman. And it's funny because you can actually hear it happening. Freddie starts laughing, and in the middle of answering a question, which I never broke stride. I kept going. I kept moving along like a professional journalist would
sure.
do. But Freddie in the middle said, "How does that feel?" And I said, "Well, it burns, and it's really cold." So champagne, if you haven't had it spread in your face, it does hurt. But you know what? when you've been through some lean years, those guys will be the first to tell you it's a good kind of hurt. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. A good type of pain. Talking to Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network, of course, our sister station, WAUD 1230, home of the Braves here in the Auburn area. And Kevin, one more note on the weekend. I am just shocked that the Braves turned it around on Saturday night after all the partying Friday night and then were able to beat the Giants again. I think that shows some fortitude right there.
Yeah, they had the old hangover lineup in there, too. Now, they did have Acuna and Donaldson, but a lot of guys that you typically don't see get a chance to start. Got their opportunity, and they made the most of it. Yeah, I mean, look, the one thing you want to see more than anything is for this team to continue playing good baseball. They still have three games to go. They're going to get a pretty good challenge here in New York this weekend with Stroman and with Wheeler and with Syndergaard. Now, they won't feed the ground, but talking to guys today here, they all said, look, this is what you want. You know, you've got to clinch. These games technically don't mean anything, but when you're facing the caliber starters they are, this is a good test for them, and this will be a good tune-up for them for what they'll expect to see once they get to the playoffs in 6 days from now.
Kevin, you talked about the champagne getting sprayed in your face is a good kind of hurt. I want to talk about a bad kind of hurt. Do you have any updates on how Ronald Acuna is doing right now, and what are their plans to work him back in the lineup once the postseason gets underway?
Yeah, the good news, Acuna did all the complement of pregame activities. Matter of fact, I was just watching him take batting practice here at Citi Field a few moments ago, and he looks good. He feels better. He's improved. But look, the Braves are doing the right thing. They're shutting him down for these last couple of games of the regular season. There's no need to push him, but he is getting better. He's moving around well. If this was a situation where you absolutely needed him to play, he would be in the lineup. But, you know, look, you don't need him out there. You don't want to make this thing worse. It's a mild grade one issue on his left groin. So, again, this is not something that's all that bad, but the last thing you want to do is take a grade one and turn it into a grade three and have him be unavailable for the postseason. So he's moving around a lot better, and that's the good news. And, you know, I know a lot of fans wanted to see 40-40, but there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger goal in mind when it comes to not only him, but this entire team as a whole.
Absolutely. The 40-40 is a big milestone, and he can try to get it next year, but the important thing is getting him healthy for the postseason. Another injury that we update, if you could give us, we saw Freddie Freeman get worked back into the lineup today. What is the update with him?
Yeah, so getting 4 days of treatment and rest more than anything back in Atlanta this week really helped him get back to where he needs to be. He said he's pain-free. He said he feels like he's in a good spot. You know, look, when these bone spurs, a lot of times they just need time to calm down. Now, that's not being I'm not saying he can't re-aggravate it very easily, but he feels a lot better. He actually joked that on Tuesday he was going to text the trainer, the head trainer, George Poulos, and say he wants to fly out to Kansas City and play on Wednesday night, but obviously they weren't going to allow him to do that. But he feels a lot better. That's the good news. He wants to play all three games here in New York, and rightfully so, because he absolutely owns the New York Mets. So an opportunity for him to get back into the swing of things and find his swing before the playoffs start next week.
Kevin, I'm curious because I think this is a debate that comes pretty much any time a team clinches the division with a week or two remaining. How much time does it take for a major league hitter to kind of lose their timing, so to speak? Is it if you miss 5 days, if you miss a week, like how long would it be until you start to worry about losing his timing?
You know, honestly, I think it's more of an individual thing. I mean, everybody's different. Freddie Freeman could be the kind of guy. You think back to a couple of years ago when he broke his wrist. He missed 7 weeks, and he came back, and it's like he rolls out of bed and just starts hitting again. I mean, it's just crazy how Nick Markakis, another good example of that. I mean, he missed 6.5 weeks, and you never know it by watching him when he comes back. Everybody's different. It's a case-by-case basis. I think some guys will tell you it takes a day or two. Some guys will tell you it takes a week or two. But I think that, you know, the guys that right now, when you're talking about Acuna and when you're talking about Freddie Freeman, those are guys that can pick it up in a hurry. So I don't worry about them needing any more than, you know, two or three games. Heck, to be honest with you guys, when you talk to Freddie in spring training, after two or three spring training games, he's like, I'm ready. I'm ready for the regular season. I'm good to go. So it is remarkable. These guys, they play all year round. They train for this. I think the two guys you're referring to, it doesn't take them long at all to find it again.
Kevin, let's look at some roster decisions that Atlanta might have in the coming days, obviously filling out that playoff roster. Let's look at some bats first. And I know there's a segment of Braves country that would like Francisco Cervelli to make the roster. Do you think he has a realistic chance of that? And if so, would it be because Atlanta was carrying a third catcher, or maybe they just place him with Tyler Flowers?
No, I think they're going to carry three, and I do think Cervelli will be on the roster. He's come up with some big hits for him. He's been a nice piece to have on this team. So, yeah, I do think Cervelli's going to make it. And, look, you can look at him as a third catcher, or you can strictly just look at him as a bat off the bench, a guy that gives you versatility where you can hit him or whoever's not catching that night. So I do get the sense that Cervelli's going to be on the roster.
And then I know another important part of a postseason roster is someone to pinch run, and I think Billy Hamilton fits that well, so I think he's got a good chance to make the roster. But another element is a power bat off the bench. Who do you see that being, Kevin, and is a guy like Adam Duvall or Austin Riley fit that bill, or are they on the outside looking in?
Well, I think they're going to carry one of the two. I don't see them carrying both. For Riley, he is versatile. He gives you, four positions he can play. The corner outfield spots, and then the corner infield positions. You don't really have a true backup to Freddie Freeman right now if something was to happen to him in the playoffs. I mean, your emergency guy would be Nick Markakis, and then you would use one of the two of those guys in the outfield, whether it was Riley or Duvall. Interesting development here, though, today, guys, at Citi Field. I got here about 2:15, 2:20 this afternoon, and the Braves were actually working out Adeni Echevarria over at first base to give them an insurance policy, again, should something happen to Freddie. So I wonder what that means for an Austin Riley. I mean, he could play there. The fact that they're looking at somebody else over there leads me to wonder if maybe, Riley is all of a sudden on the outside looking in, and maybe it is Duvall who wins that final spot if you feel like Echevarria could give you that versatility.
Talking to Kevin McAlpin of the Braves Radio Network, and Kevin, turning our attention to pitching real quickly before we let you go. Obviously, the rotation, we've asked you about that multiple times, and just in the last few weeks, we've continued to see Mike Fultonevich pitch incredibly well. Julio Teheran has struggled the last three starts or so after a really solid season. Do you think Fultonevich has taken Teheran's place in the playoff rotation?
Yeah, I sure do, and I think he's going to be the number two guy. Now, Smith did say a few moments ago they're not locked into the order being Keuchel, Folty, Soroka, Fried. It could depend on who the opponent is, and we still don't know. For the longest time, it looked like it was a lock to be the St. Louis Cardinals, but they only have a one-game lead with three games left to go over Milwaukee. So still a lot to be determined as far as who the Braves are going to face in the division series. But, I think that Folty has definitely taken Julio's spot. I don't think Julio has a position on the roster. I really don't. I mean, look, he's only come out of the pen a couple of times in his career. You know, it's not an area where he's comfortable with. You know, in the regular season, he hasn't done it since 2013. So I'll be honest, I don't think Julio is even going to make the roster. So I think your four starters are going to be, like I said, I think the order, again, it's not set in stone, but I do expect the order to be Keuchel, Folti, Soroka, and Fried in that order, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And again, with Julio's struggles, especially in the first inning, I just don't know that you can put him out there in a relief role, given the fact he does scuffle usually in his first inning worth of work.
So, Kevin, I believe it would it be next Friday that Atlanta would start their playoff series, or is that still to be determined based off the wild card games?
Game one will be Thursday, and then game two will be Friday. So, you know, there's only two games in the big leagues next Thursday. So I would expect the Braves get probably the 4 or 5 o'clock window, somewhere in there. And then there's 4 games next Friday. So I would think that, you know, given the fact you have the Dodgers in there, you got the Yankees in there, the Astros, I would think the Braves get the early window for game two as well. So, yeah, this time next week, they'll either be 1-0 or 0-1 and maybe advance even further than that. So we'll see what happens. But it does feel like that, you know, given the fact that there are other bigger markets, I think the Braves will get those earlier windows.
Kevin, I want to pivot away from baseball here for a second, because your Temple Owls have a big game this weekend and hosting the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
Big one. There's no doubt about it. Jeff Collins coming back. And, you know, guys, I was a little disappointed last week because, you know, Temple coming off a win over Maryland, then they go to Buffalo and get blown out. But believe me, the boys are licking their chops for this one. They're going to be fired up. The only thing that stinks is the way the game times panned out. I was hoping they would get a noon game, and I could zip down on the train here from New York and go see the game and then get back up here to New York before the Braves game started tomorrow night. But not the case. I'll have to watch it on TV here at Citi Field tomorrow afternoon. But, yeah, my Owls are going to be geared up for that one tomorrow, to say the least.
Absolutely, Kevin. Well, we appreciate the time, as always. We hope to talk to you again next week. And, obviously, with this Braves team, it should be exciting to watch them all postseason long. So, once again, Kevin, we thank you so much for your time.
You got it, guys. Thanks.